Podcasting from behind her locked bathroom door, the only quiet place in the house, this is the Homeschool Sanity Show, a twice-monthly podcast with expert advice for happier, healthier homeschool living. And now, here's your host, Christian psychologist and homeschool mom of six, Dr. Melanie Wilson.
Good morning or afternoon, depending on when you're listening to the podcast. You might even be in the shower right now listening to the podcast. That's my favorite place to listen to podcasts. Well, I am really excited today because I am talking with a next generation homeschooler, Renee Gocher. You may not know what a next generation homeschooler is, but it simply means that it is someone who was homeschooled and is now homeschooling their own children. And I was really inspired by the fact that Renee is homeschooling after having been homeschooled. And I asked her to speak with me on the podcast about how we can raise next generation homeschoolers. Well, Renee, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us for the Homeschool Sanity Show today. And I would love for you to give our listeners a little bit more of an introduction to you and what you do.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, I am a next-generation homeschooler. So I was homeschooled in the late 80s. My mom started homeschooling when I was in high school. So I was homeschooled just for my last 2 years of high school. And after that time, I went to college with the intent of becoming a journalist and wanted to pursue that career. But I also knew in my heart that I wanted my family to be a big part of my life. And family and journalism are a very difficult mix. So at a point where I got laid off from my job, I was able to take that opportunity to think about where I wanted to go forward. And so I decided to work from home and had my family and eventually started homeschooling them. I didn't actually homeschool from the start. I was doing a Mary Kay business for a while that I was very active in. And so because I didn't, because I was very busy, I wanted to see if I could kind of keep that business going and maybe homeschool. And then a few years passed and finally God just opened doors for us to homeschool and for myself to start moving back into the writing. And that's when my sister-in-law and I decided to start our blog, Next Gen Homeschool. So now we are in our like 2.5 years of time at the blog and for my fourth year of homeschooling.
All right, very good. Well, I didn't realize that we had even more in common than the fact that we homeschool. I sold Mary Kay for a while when I was in college. I love
Oh, wow.
Mary Kay. I'm in my bathroom.
Love it.
You know, that is where I podcast. It's the only place I can be sure to get away from the kids for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am, in fact, looking at some Mary Kay products right now. So I do love them. But the other thing that I have in common with you is that I discovered that my career choice didn't fit really well with family life, mm-hmm. even though I really expected that it would. I thought I could be a part-time psychologist and it would just be perfect and not so much, mm-hmm. but it's been
right.
a blessing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am really interested in Renee. I am really interested in knowing why your parents decided to homeschool you. I mean, this was back when it mm-hmm. was really not popular, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, we didn't know any families that homeschooled at the time, but my mom was attending some conferences in Southern California where she was introduced to kind of a group of homeschoolers that were part of the conference, and they had a special evening for homeschoolers and, you know, homeschooling families that were attending the conference. And so she and I went, and she was really excited about the idea. I was completely shocked by the idea. I had never heard of it and couldn't imagine why my mom would be interested, especially because we have a large family. I'm the oldest of 8 children. So by the time she started homeschooling, we had all 8 children. My brother was recently born at the time that she started homeschooling. So I was curious, but, you know, had no idea what to expect. And after that time that we attended that conference and she started researching, homeschooling, and, you know, whether it was legal in California, and it was, but and there were actually umbrella organizations already starting to form to support homeschoolers, we still didn't know anybody. So it was really a leap of faith on her part that God was calling her to do it, that she felt like the passion that she heard from these parents about why they wanted to homeschool and what the blessings were for their family, she really just had to take a leap of faith. And even my stepfather wasn't 100% sure. He thought it was a great idea, but he was willing to let her give it a try. And so it was really just her heart for the Lord and wanting to see us follow after God and not simply just stay on the path of, you know, going to college, getting a great job, and living for ourselves.
She really sounds like a woman after my own heart. I mean, you know, just having that passion to do something that was really bold, especially back then, because she just felt like that's what God was calling her to do. That's really neat. Maybe sometime I should interview her. She sounds a really inspiring lady. Well, so you have 7 siblings. And now, are they all adults now?
Yes, they're all adults now.
Okay.
I have 4 sisters that are married, and of the 3 that are married that have children, all 3 of us are homeschooling.
Oh, that is fantastic. Now, do you live in the same area, too?
No, we don't, unfortunately. Most of my family still lives in California. So I was the first one to brave leaving the state. We moved to Colorado in 1999 originally, and that was just the dream of my husband's, to live in Colorado. And after coming out to visit, I could see why it was his dream. It's such a beautiful place to live. And we both love the outdoors and like to, you know, do outdoor sports and camp and just really enjoy the outdoors. And so we moved out here. And then one of my sisters, who's married now, she moved out here to be my nanny for a while I was still working from home. And she fell in love with Colorado, too. And so she stayed out here, met her husband, and they live in Eagle. And she doesn't have any children yet, so we'll see where she ends up with the homeschooling. But so for the most part, you know, we're separate from each other geographically, so we can't share in the fun that my sister-in-laws do in Oklahoma, who are the other half of Next Gen Homeschool. They actually live near each other, so they get to do a lot of homeschooling together.
Right. Well, at least you can have conversations about it, you know, through the internet now, which I'm sure you do.
We do.
Kind of
share
a lot. Compare notes. Oh, that is so exciting. What a blessing. Now, was your husband ever homeschooled?
He was, in fact, and it's really unusual, but at the same time, I know that, you know, God works in amazing ways. And I met my husband in college. And when we met, I remember, you know, we met through friends, and somebody saying, "Did you know he was homeschooled? Weren't you homeschooled?" And I just thought to myself, that's kind of amazing. Another homeschooled person in college, and he, you know, he's a good-looking guy. But actually, it was funny that, you know, our relationship didn't start that way. We actually were friends for a really long time. I had a friend of mine actually had her eye on him for a while, so I stayed away, but eventually the Lord did bring us together. And, you know, that's just the neat thing about it is, you know, he was homeschooled and I was homeschooled, and we did have that experience to share, among other things that we had in common, but it did, you know, make it a lot easier for the conversation of homeschooling to come into our own family once we were starting to, you know, prepare to get married and think about future, so.
Okay. So was that a conversation that you had pretty early on then, when you knew you were going to get married?
Yes, we did. We, you know, he was actually homeschooled longer than I was. He was homeschooled in from fourth grade on through college. And one of the neat things about his family's homeschooling journey is that his father spent a lot of time researching education when they started having issues with their public school and decided to take their 3 children out of school. He had a real passion. The Lord kind of opened these doors for him to look into the history of public education and kind of the theories behind the theories and see what was at root going on in our public education system that was troublesome and worrisome. And so when we were still dating, I remember sitting down with his dad and, you know, him explaining to me kind of everything that he had learned and kind of where he was going. And this research is actually something that he's now written books on and travels around the country speaking about. So, but, you know, here we were just dating, and he was kind of, you know, giving me this big picture about, you know, where he saw things coming from and going. And so early on, you know, we did talk about it, and, you know, I agreed with a lot of what, you know, he was discovering, and it just kind of confirmed in my heart some things that I knew my mom had been feeling. So it was
right.
Neat.
Now, had your mom ever shared with you a desire to see you homeschool your own children?
Yes, she did. It wasn't something that, you know, they both kind of sprung on us early on or anything like that. I think that, you know, when I think both of our parents kind of did a good job of just seeing what we would do and what we would decide. And since we didn't start homeschooling right away, you know, at first I kind of told my mom that, well, you know, having the girls in preschool a couple mornings a week is helpful for me so that I can work. And, you know, that sounded good. And then, you know, when my oldest was ready to start first grade, that was when we really had to decide, so are we doing this, you know, full-blown into the public school? And so I think at that point is when both of our parents kind of shared their feelings about what they hoped for us. And, you know, we listened, and at the time I just felt like I needed the time home to work, and I just wasn't ready. And, you know, in hindsight, I know that a lot of it is just personal insecurity and fears that I had about homeschooling and what I thought it should be. You know, I had the real perfectionist expectations, since that's kind of how I viewed everything. And I couldn't see how I was going to mesh my work and homeschooling. And so I let it sit on the back burner. But they were very, you know, they were very loving about it, and they just shared, you know, what they saw that we could have if we decided to homeschool, and how they felt like we really had the ideal situation, even though I didn't see it that way. At the time, both my husband and I were working from home. So, you know, he was working from home, I was working from home. You know, it seemed like a no-brainer to them. But, you know, we had to be in the right place, and it was mainly me.
Right. So, I mean, did you have some anxiety about being able to really fulfill the other calling in your life, which was journalism? Did you wonder how that was going to work together with homeschooling?
I did. You know, I have a very kind of type A personality where I have a hard time doing a lot of things, you know, generally well. I want to do a few things really, really well. And at the time that we started having children, I was an executive editor for a technology magazine working from home, and I felt like it should be the ideal situation, but it didn't feel that way. I mean, once you become a mom and you have children and you realize how your life completely changes, your time is not the same. And I had a hard time separating those work hours from my mom hours. And as they grew older and I started thinking about homeschooling, you know, I imagined, well, you know, I would have to be spending my 9 to 3, you know, just like they do at school, homeschooling, and then how could I work? And, you know, it just, it was overwhelming, even though my mom didn't homeschool us that way, which is kind of interesting. My mom was much more easygoing and laid back when she was homeschooling us, and we did, you know, my parents owned their own business at the time, and we did a lot of school at night, school on the road, you know, school in the car, and, but in my mind, I wanted it to be this perfect homeschool where, you know, we were just spending all day doing our schoolwork and projects and having a good time, and I just didn't see how working and doing that could happen together without me going crazy.
I can really relate to that too. You know, I knew that God had called me to be a writer and a speaker even when I was in graduate school. I never wanted to do full-time therapy, you know, part-time at the most. And I just thought, there is just no way that I can homeschool and do that too. There just is no way. And then I finally realized that if God was calling me to do all three of those things, that it was his responsibility to make that work. And he really has. And now I have been in a place for quite a long time where if I had to give up, you know, a my career part of my life with the writing and speaking or the podcasting or whatever, or I had to give up homeschooling, it's a no-brainer what I would give up, because homeschooling has become the most fulfilling thing that I have done or could ever do. And God knew that. And I think that's what's just so exciting about the God that we have, is that he knows us so well, and we just have to get to that place, right, where we can trust that he knows what he's doing.
Exactly. Right.
Well, Renee, we've been kind of talking around it a little bit, but I'm interested in knowing how many children you have and what their ages are.
Sure. I have three daughters. The oldest is almost 13. She'll be 13 in a month. And then I have an 11-year-old and a 6-year-old. And my 6-year-old is the only one who has been homeschooled from the start.
Okay.
My eldest two went to school until almost 4 years ago. So my eldest was in third grade, and middle child was in first grade when we started.
Well, you said that, you know, your mother started homeschooling you when you were in high school, but she was homeschooling your younger siblings, you know, really when they were quite young. Now, you know, what kind of feedback did she have for you on curriculum when you were looking at curriculum for your own kids? And, you know, was it really kind of confusing because things have changed so much? I mean, even since when I began homeschooling 14 years ago, I mean, just big, big changes. So, you know, what if any role did her experiences play in what you chose for your own kids?
That's a great question. You know, there are some publishers still around today that were around when my mom was homeschooling. We used Alpha Omega, and she was actually a rep for Alpha Omega for a while at the local homeschool conferences. And then we had a kind of an eclectic mix around that. I think that a curriculum like that, that is just, you know, straightforward, covering all the subjects, is really helpful for especially the moms that are concerned that they want to have everything covered. And I think that was her way of kind of covering the bases. And then she worked around that on subjects that really mattered to her. We read a lot of biographies. We read, watched a lot of videos, documentaries. And so when it came time for me to choose curriculum, you know, she had that experience, and she said, you know, if you really are concerned about covering the bases, you can go with a, you know, company that offers really straightforward, you know, by the grade curriculum. However, you know, there's, she actually encouraged me to really look out there and see, because she knew that there was so much more. And with my daughters, especially my eldest two being close in age, they're only 20 months apart, you know, she said, if you can do more together, that is one thing that I would have done differently, you know, is do more together as a family instead of all of us kind of being on our own tracks and then maybe only doing a couple of supplementary things. So, so it was helpful, and I think it also gave me the confidence that, you know, if I really did need just to get the bases covered so that I would feel like, phew, we got that done, that I knew that there were good companies out there that offered that.
You know, because I am a psychologist, I didn't even realize it for quite a while, but I have since come to realize that I have felt an inordinate amount of pressure as a homeschooler, even more than all homeschoolers feel. You know, we all want to feel like, you know, we're going to show the naysayers that we can do this and we can do a good job.
Right.
Well, I felt, I think, a different kind of pressure, because everyone's like, well, you're really smart, you know, and so, and not only smart, so my kids should be smart, but they should be perfectly behaved because, you know, I know how to deal with the misbehavior. Supposedly. And you know, I realized that I have that pressure, but I was wondering if you have felt any extra or special kind of pressure because you're a second generation homeschooler.
Yes, that's a good point. And I do a little bit. I haven't had many people, you know, kind of say to me, well, it must be easier for you because you've been homeschooled. Like, I think that we all, as homeschooling moms, understand that it's, you know, it's a tough job no matter what. But I do think that I personally felt that pressure, especially for family members, I would say, because of outside family members knew that my mom had homeschooled and, you know,
to the outside world, you know, I turned out pretty well. I went to college and got a master's degree and, you know, had a great job. So, you know, I should be able to produce even better results. And so I did feel some pressure. There are times where I have had people ask me questions, you know, based on the fact that I was homeschooled, especially for homeschooling teens. And I think that since I'm not there yet, the experience that I share with them is what I remember as a student. And so I think that it's a good, you know, I can give them a little bit of that perspective. And it's helpful because I think at that point is when many parents are more concerned about what they're doing, is at the high school age. A lot of the questions that I get are, how did your mom do it when you were in high school? And how did you get into college, and how did you get a transcript, and all those things. And since I'm not there yet, since I'm not there yet personally, I don't have a lot of advice, but I do, you know, I do know that that's a big concern. So I think it was more of a personal pressure. I never really felt like anyone necessarily expected me to have, you know, a great homeschool because of my experience. But I think mainly what I share is an encouragement to them that, you know, I survived it and I'm thankful for it, and that's the best message that I can give.
Right. Well, is it the case that you know some people who were homeschooled, maybe even people that you were, young people that you were friends with when you were being homeschooled, who are now parents and they have not chosen this path?
I do know a few, and every once in a while, you know, in my course of life, I will meet a few here and there, and I understand their concerns and, you know, where God, what I see is that, you know, we're all on a journey, and we're, God is calling me personally, and he's also equipping me at the right time, and I feel like a lot of the concerns that people have with homeschooling and maybe not appreciating their own experience as well, I think God could work through that if they were at that place with him. So does that make sense? I think one of the big concerns is, you know, I don't feel like I was as prepared for college as I should have been, might be a reason, and that I want my kids, you know, to be academic stars, and I didn't think I was. And and that's a valid concern, and I feel like, you know, if their heart is for their kids to go off and do, you know, things that maybe they didn't get a chance to do, that could be a reason that they hold back. So.
Yeah, I know I have done a little bit of reading, not necessarily about, by, I should say, parents who were homeschooled, but just adults who were homeschooled. And I've read a few things where they've said, you know, I just felt like my mom was not disciplined enough. You know, we just didn't get enough school done. It was just kind of all over the place, willy-nilly. And I can definitely understand that concern, and it's something that I hope to try to encourage other homeschooling moms who have more of that personality, because I can really relate to that. You know, when things become boring, people who have personalities like mine, we're just kind of like, yeah, moving on to the next fun thing to do. And, and of course, you know, that can work to a point when you're homeschooling, but there can also be some really serious side effects of that. You know, like if you're constantly changing your approach to math and you're just missing major, you know, material that your kids absolutely have to know, it's going to be very frustrating for them and, you know, could actually make them feel like they're just not smart when that isn't the problem at all. So, you know, there's certainly, I think, some self-critique that needs to happen where that's concerned without being completely to the other extreme, which I know we both know moms who are, you know, I read all the time. It's like, well, I'm using this curriculum, but it's just not enough. I have to use a second math curriculum. I'm like, what? That's crazy. I don't have to do that. But that's what they think, you know, because they're so afraid that, you know, there's some little detail that their students will miss. So, you know, of course, the balance is somewhere between those two extremes. Well, is it the case, yeah, Renee, being honest, are you hopeful that your children will homeschool one day?
Yes, I definitely am. I think that one thing that I really, that the Lord has taught me in this journey that I not only want my to communicate to my children, but that I think could strengthen them in the future to help them see that homeschooling is not just, you know, possible, but really beneficial, is that it really comes down to trusting God, and that none of us are perfect. You know, my mom wasn't perfect when we were homeschooled. You know, there were lots of things that I loved and lots of things that I questioned, and but at the same time, the mission that God had for me personally in my couple of years of homeschooling, I believe, was accomplished because it did put me on a different path that led to many blessings, including meeting my husband. And so when it came time for me to trust God to homeschool my daughters, you know, I went ahead and started, but it took a couple years into the experience till where I really surrendered my perfect idea of homeschooling and asked God to lead me and equip me. And so with my girls, I try to be really honest with them in terms of, you know, this is hard, you know, or this is a struggle. This is something we're all learning together. We're all being challenged together. Let's grow together, because I want them to know that, you know, when it comes time for them to have children and be the leader, you know, be the guide for that child, that they're going to feel inadequate too, you know, and there's going to be many challenges, but that it's really about their relationship with God and trusting Him to equip them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do think that, you know, I get discouraged when I see the news and I see how, you know, the public schools are changing, how our country is changing. And so that is a passion, you know, for me to make sure that my girls are equipped and ready for their adulthood and for their parenthood and the things that they're going to face that we aren't even facing yet. So I think, you know, that's another part of my passion for them, is not just for them to be good mothers and to have good relationships with their children and be a guide as a homeschooler, but also to be able to equip their kids for what they're going to be facing. And I just, you know, I sense that it is going to be more challenging. So I'm definitely passionate about them knowing that it's, you know, not only do I hope that they appreciate the experience, but I hope that they see the heart and the intent, so that they know that that there's something there that is bigger than them, and that they can trust God to help them to accomplish whatever He wants to accomplish in their families.
Boy, I mean, there is just so much wisdom in what you said. And one other thing that I would add to it is, I think we can err in making our children think that they would have to homeschool in order to please us. And we want to be very sure that they know that that is not the case. I went through a difficult couple of years with my oldest son, and I didn't realize at the time that he was terrified that he was going to grow up and hold different opinions on various issues than his dad and I do. And that then we would in turn not be proud of him, would not love him, would reject him. And I realized that, you know, we my husband and I, we are very much in sync on our opinions on a lot of things. But we have such strong opinions and we talk so strongly about them that I really do understand why he kind of got that idea that, you know, what if I don't? I mean, it wasn't just about homeschooling. Right. It wasn't like, that he was terrified that he wouldn't want to homeschool his kids, but it was about a lot of different things. And I finally had to, you know, step back with my husband and just keep loving him and just accepting him and affirming that it does not matter, even if you do things that we do not approve of, you know, we're going to love you. Yes, we're going to speak into your life and say, you know, we don't think this is a good choice, or, you know, we're concerned about your walk with the Lord. But that doesn't mean that we aren't going to be proud of you and love you, which was his deepest fear. So I think that's so important. And, I mean, I can't even tell you the difference that that has made in our relationship with him. I mean, we're just so very close to him now, and that is an absolute answer to prayer. And I believe that that was probably more for my benefit than for anyone, you know. God was just using that. Like, he was just saying, okay, you are not in control of everything that happens in your child's life, whether it's them going on to homeschool or, you know, how they choose to serve the Lord. Just none of that. It's not on you. And, you know, I think there's a larger issue here, which as homeschoolers, we don't talk about that much, but I think it's just hugely important, and that is, I think homeschoolers feel a lot of pressure because we think, maybe people actually are, and even other homeschoolers are, looking at us, and they're laying either the glory or the blame for our children's behavior on our shoulders. And so, you know, when my son was saying things that I just didn't agree with, I mean, it just freaked me out because I thought everyone is going to blame this on me and my parenting. And that's, you know, it may be the case that people will blame me, but I can't let that bother me, you know. So I've got to just trust the Lord, do what he calls me to do as a parent, but then trust God with their future.
We're only accountable to him.
That's right. You know, he is responsible for them ultimately. And, you know, we just have to love our children, just love them, and fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to us. Well, Renee, I know that we could talk and talk and talk. I would really enjoy doing that. It's been really a pleasure. But I want everyone to know that you offer a lot more good advice than just a discussion of how to raise next generation homeschoolers. And I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about your blog, nextgenhomeschool.com, and the kinds of things that we can expect to find there.
Okay, definitely. We definitely talk about homeschooling. I think, you know, homeschooling is the center of our blog's purpose. However, it's really about encouraging mothers, and we encourage in many different ways. One of the things that my sisters and I, when we kind of came together on this project, you know, we do things differently, and I think that in and of itself is something that can bless others to see how we are doing things differently and, you know, how we fit homeschooling into our lives, whether, you know, we have work from home or own a business like my sister-in-law in Oklahoma, that they own 2 donut shops, and so she does the books for the business, and how that plays into their homeschooling and their opportunities to give their kids hands-on education, you know, to in the different ages. I think we really try to show that, you know, how homeschooling is reflected in our families, what we do differently, how the Lord encourages us. We do write a lot about the challenges of homeschooling, and one of the features that we have done a lot in the past and we plan to do more of is Ask a Next Gen Homeschooler. And what that what that article is all about is taking the questions that we all get and each of us getting a chance to answer it for ourselves so that you get to see that variety and that difference. We answer questions, you know, about budgeting, about how do you manage working while homeschooling. That was actually one of our most popular articles last year because all 4 of us do some form of work outside of homeschooling. And so how we do that and how we fit that in with the schedule and how the Lord helps us, you know, and strengthens us to bring it all together. We also have started to review products. Because we have such a gamut of curriculum that we're all using, we're now starting to share some of those opinions about products that we use and we love and systems that have worked for us. So we try to offer that practical aspect as well.
Well, it's a fantastic Yes, it's a fantastic resource. I have really enjoyed your blog, even as an experienced homeschooler myself. There's always something there that inspires me or just informs me. Well, Renee, as I said, it has been a pleasure, and I look forward to interacting with you more online.
Thank you for having me. It's been great to get to know each other better and to encourage moms today.
Thank you for joining us for the Homeschool Sanity Show with Dr. Melanie Wilson. Visit Melanie at psychowith6.com. That's the number 6 for more sanity-saving ideas. The Homeschool Sanity Show is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.